What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We are live with the Friday edition of Sean, RJ, and Bobby, as the announcer guy said, here on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. Happy Friday to everyone. Sean Shreef, RJ Choppy, Bobby Belt. We got Peyton, and we are live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. The early morning shout out to the Twolos on Twitch, and Cam, Gregory, Dwayne, Dave, and Nate popping in as we start with the 6 a.m. club. And apparently there's a lot of people already off enjoying a four-day weekend because my GPS did not tell me to exit on Munger, stay right on 30 to 75. But, of course, it wasn't that easy as 75 gets bottled up and you had traffic coming in. You tried to warn Bobby about.
Tried to warn Bobby about it on Woodall Rogers. There's something going on. I don't know what it is, but it's never backed up on the other side of the tunnel. Mm-hmm. But it was. And I was like, ooh, let me just get off. I just immediately get off. I don't even look at the GPS. I just get off. So I see traffic, I'm off. Yeah. And I went to Olive and made a little loop-de-loop, and bam, right back on the access road, made it well. And then I texted Bobby, and Bobby didn't see my text.
Nope.
Very smart. He didn't text or drive.
Just like during the show.
Exactly. I never look at my text. The other problem is that I didn't look at my GPS. Because I put it in the GPS every morning, and I see what time it says I'm going to get there, and I just assume, oh, it says I'll get there at this time, so I'll be fine. I didn't realize that it probably, I didn't see, but I'm sure it probably had put a diversion on there that I just didn't even notice.
Okay, so we have Dion, we have Colorado, we got college football, we got Rangers sweep, we have another Rangers ticket giveaway, we have Mike Florio coming up from ProFootballTalk.com at 8 o'clock. We have Nick Eatman at 9:20, and hopefully we have you for the duration up until 10 o'clock with the KMC Masterpiece. Thanks for being a total. That stands for Turn It On, Leave It On. Some whoa moments yesterday from Dak Prescott, I thought, at the Ford Center at the Star in Frisco. The main question throughout this segment is going to be, am I overreacting? Am I overreacting, creating content, as Psycho Tolo Chris Jones loves to accuse us of sometimes? Because this, to me, was very un-Dak-esque when he was asked, okay, CD's done. He's out there wearing sleeveless shirts. You guys got three practices, getting on the same page. Is your deal next?
Not really sure. Not my focus anymore, to be honest with you. Told you guys that really, can't say ever, was really my focus. It's about making myself and this team better, getting us in the best position, and the most confident to go up to Cleveland and start the season off with a win.
Okay. Answer number one, don't really care anymore. Number two, and this one is the big wow that has gone viral and created the headlines. Your reaction to Jerry Jones saying, you know what, you could make the argument, if you haven't seen it by now, you're not going to see it. But I love him. But I absolutely love him. Why did he throw in that dig? Why did he have to utter that sentence? Dak reacting to that.
Yeah, I understand that. That's the business and the nature of this game that we play. Yeah, I mean, I stopped, honestly, listening to things that he says to the media a long time ago. So it doesn't really hold weight with me.
I went back and watched it, courtesy of Bobby Belt, pulling the video and the audio, and I wanted to see how much of a smile and a joke there was. What is y'all's evaluation of what you heard and what you saw in terms of saying, I stopped listening to the owner of my football team. It doesn't hold a lot of weight with me anymore. He added that second sentence.
Yeah.
just for some extra effect.
I don't think it's anything. The second sentence does make it more. There's no doubt about that. The second sentence, to me, makes it a little bit more. But I think this is what you have to do when you play for two organizations in sport. Well, not even two anymore, just one. Because George is dead. Steinbrenner's dead. You used to not have to worry about it. You just ignore what he says. Joe Torre used to do that. He used to say this to the media all the time. I don't even listen to what George says. So I think it's no different. And I think that Jerry and George are a lot in the same.
Do you think that Jerry felt a little insulted by that? If Mike McCarthy came on here on a Friday and said, I stopped listening to what Jerry said a while back, it doesn't hold a lot of weight.
The word to the media saves him.
Yeah, he's saying.
If he says, I don't listen to what he says, that's one thing. If he says, I don't listen to what he says to the media.
Okay.
That's
when he says to the media, yeah, he's trying to insinuate, like, you guys get a different word than I do, or you guys get different content than I do. But it means something, because Dak doesn't say anything like that unless he's being calculated. And Dak is being calculated right now, because I think Dak's whole opinion is, if Jerry's going to negotiate through the media, then I will too. If that's what you want to do, all right, fine. If you're going to use certain tactics, I'm going to use them right back, because that's the way that you've wanted to negotiate this thing.
Because my reaction to the question I asked myself, is this public negotiation, or is he, and I was looking up and Googling synonyms for not caring, and I was trying to pick the right word. Because we all know, right, when you get into an argument, whether it's with a coworker, a friend, your other half, and one of the sides is just like, you know what, I don't care anymore. You may have lost that person. Indifference. Mm-hmm. That's what I was wondering yesterday. Is Dak Prescott right now, is he just indifferent and he's fine? He truly is fine with whatever happens. I'll go somewhere else. I've been paid. I have more perspective now. I have my girlfriend. I have my daughter. I'll be just fine anywhere else. That was my theory with Dak's growing family, that your perspective changes and you're like, okay, I don't have to be the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys as my sole and only purpose in life. I can go anywhere with these two that I have and be happy and be paid. Indifference, not caring, you're dead inside versus calculated public negotiation.
Can it be both? Like, I mean, can he really believe that? And then just the decision to put it out front is a calculated negotiating tactic. Because I think he's felt a lot of ways about things over the course of the years that he's just chosen not to say because he doesn't think it's productive or whatever other reason. I think he absolutely does feel like it doesn't have to be here anymore.
All right, what about this one then? Will you continue talks once the regular season begins?
No, I mean, that's up to Todd and those guys. Once again, I'm not going to be a part of them here as the season starts. And they've been going. They've been going, obviously, heavily through Todd and Steven both. It's just all part of it. As I said, my job and my focus now is control what I can. And as I said, well, back in camp, it's two parts of this. Both sides have to come to the agreement.
You don't need a deal done before the season?
I don't need a – no.
Would you like it done before the season?
I think it says a lot if it is or if it isn't. But, however, doesn't really matter to me, to be honest with you.
What does it say if it isn't?
Just how people feel.
Yeah, now that to me plays a lot more than the I don't listen to what Jerry says to the media comment, because that's him indicating that if it's not done, that it tells me that they don't either value me or they don't believe in me or whatever you want to say.
Yeah,
this is that's a much more pointed statement than his initial one. The initial one's going to get all the headlines, right? Because it's him saying he doesn't listen to what the owner says.
Yeah,
but this one is the other one. Now, look, I mean, what did CD say when the deal came down? He said, my agent called me. I was just sitting there. He was playing video games or whatever, right? Hanging out. He wasn't doing that. He wasn't in the negotiating. Dak's not going to be negotiating the contract. Lamar, this would be a bigger deal for Lamar, because Lamar doesn't have an agent, right? So Lamar needs to talk. Like Dak would just let
Todd do it. Dak's in the building, though. Like CD was – CD purposefully, I think, in part removed himself so that he couldn't just be pulled into a side room and like, hey, let's work this out face to face. Like, I think that's part of what was going on there. Dak is physically there. Jerry can go walk up to him in the locker room and say, hey, can we talk real quick? Like, so there is an ability to do it. And I think that
And all this can be changed dramatically with one piece of paper mm-hmm. and a few numbers. I just found myself yesterday being like, okay, maybe Bobby is correct. I'm in this type of instance, I'll believe it when I see it. I don't believe Jerry Jones will let a very good quarterback get away in his waning years and roll the dice that he may never find someone as good as Dak Prescott again. I can't bring myself to believe it. I'll believe it when it actually happens with the divorce. But it did come across my computer screen yesterday, Bobby, in terms of what you've been saying and said yesterday. It's just feeling like both sides are more and more fine with a divorce.
Yeah, that they're both fine with. It feels like they're very, whatever outcome it is. If we get it done, that's great. We're going to be happy and we'll have, but you know what? If it ends, we had a good run. I love you, but I'm not in love with you anymore. That kind of a thing. And that's where I think the bigger issue here is that's where Dak has gotten. Because it's really easy from the Cowboys perspective to say, justify, well, we don't have to end up paying this money. So think of all these different ways that we can use this money and we can do this and that there. Dak has all the leverage in this negotiation, and for him to step back and go, I don't need it from you guys, is a little more, I think, puts it more in jeopardy because he doesn't feel any reason to cut you a deal. And he doesn't feel any sort of, positive feelings towards you to give you that.
Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, friend of the show, was on last week with the latest he's hearing on this saga.
Here's what I would imagine, based on my knowledge, not reporting, just based on what I gather and what I know. If they don't do a deal by then, I can't imagine he's looking at a deal through the season. I can't imagine he's looking at a deal until March. Then we're talking free agency. And as we've said many times, he'll be the highest profile free agent in NFL history. They could do a deal, but it has to come an unbelievable cost, Mike, and I just don't know if the Cowboys are going to get where they need to get.
So that's Rappaport.
Yeah, and I mean, that's where you're at in this instance is because, when you look at the CD negotiation, well, CD, come on, you got to be able to fall down here, you got to do this, or the gap isn't that wide. When Nick Eatman tells us that, hey, it's somewhat similar to those temperatures in Oxnard, that sounds like a gap there. They're having enough trouble just swallowing $60 million a year, it sounds like, and making that work for themselves. You think Dak, with zero reason to come down in terms of leverage, is going to say, all right, I'll come down maybe roughly $10 million?
Yeah, the high in Oxnard today, by the way, is 72. I've been trying to figure out whether Eatman was referring to the high temp or the low temp.
Could be.
In California.
Maybe the temperature at that hour.
Yeah, could have been at that hour. Yeah, 60, 65, I think, is what he's generally saying there. What is the motivation? Dak's not coming down from that number. He doesn't have to.
He can go up.
Sure. I mean,
you're making the argument he shouldn't even sign right now.
I don't believe he should. I mean, if I was Dak, I'd be like, so what is the disadvantage for him not signing now? Injury? I mean, Kirk Cousins just showed that doesn't matter.
Yep.
He just ruptured his Achilles, and he got a really nice number.
Yep.
And
Dak already went through a season-ending injury and still got paid.
Yes, and Dak is already rich. It's not like he's in CD situation where he hasn't been paid yet.
The only downside is this topic throughout the entire regular season over and over and over again. And if he chooses to say, guys, once snap one occurs against the Cleveland Browns, I will not be talking about this. I doubt that happens. He'll keep it alive, sparring with the negotiations publicly with Jerry. But that's the only really downside because or the downside is you guys go 7-10
and you play healthy the whole year.
You play healthy the whole year. Yeah. 8-9, you don't make the playoffs or you lose first round, and the team you want to be with says, you know what, we know you're not the guy, we're moving on. Those are the downsides.
That's the downside. Dak has shown throughout his career, though, that if he's healthy, he's going to win games. Like now, Grant, is this team worse, better, whatever? Like, there's obviously, it's football. The margins are so small. Anything can happen. But if I was Dak, I mean, any kind of injury short of a shoulder injury, which was scary, that would scare a lot of teams off. If you get the Chad Pennington noodle arm going, that would scare teams off. But anything else, I mean, like, you would go into it and you'd be like, all right, fine, I'll just take my chances. I know I'm going to get $65 million at this time next year.
Market's going to go up.
Yep.
There's no hometown discount to be had here. is that he looks at it and he says, I view you the way I view 31 other teams at this point. And so if you give me the money, we'll get it done. And you get an exclusive negotiating period. But otherwise, I have no affection towards you that says I have to be here anymore. And that's a scary thing for the Cowboys, unless the Cowboys don't care. If the Cowboys have the Michael Lombardi perspective, somebody who was in the league, if they similarly look and go, well, where is he going to go? Okay, play that game. You lose your quarterback. That's what's
going
to happen.
And the downside is going somewhere that isn't as good of a situation winning-wise of the teams that will need a quarterback next year.
Well, I mean, Ayuk is going through was going through that. Right, he was decided like, am I going to stay here?
But it means so much more for a quarterback.
Oh, for sure.
You know,
yeah, that's
okay. I can go be the Raiders quarterback. Okay, with an aging Devontae, I'm going to go to Tampa Bay. Okay, with an older Mike Evans, your next spot in order to go and get that championship. So that's what happened yesterday inside the Star. Your thoughts, as always, on the Frank LaFranco Injury Attorney text line 877-881-1053. How much were you rooting for or against Dion and Colorado last night with a big college football game to kick off your weekend, and the Rangers with the broomstick, Corey Seager's broomstick. 6 a.m. Club, just getting started with Sean and RJ.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Shotgun snap taken by Shadur, throws it right side. Travis Hunter reaches up, makes a spectacular grab. Touchdown! Touchdown, Colorado! He's an alien! He's a freak! He's a mutant! He's the best player in college football! And the Buffaloes take a 10-point lead, 30-20.
There you go. There you go.
What is that?
I thought it was a great call.
I thought it was, you know, it was a good call. I don't know if he's the best player in college football. He's
an alien.
It's really hard to argue against that thought right now.
Especially, well, he won't go number one.
No, but
that doesn't mean he's the best player in college football.
Yeah, different talk.
Three touchdowns for Travis Hunter, of course, connecting with Shador. And this was a fun game last night as Colorado ekes it out over North Dakota State 31-26. And Travis Hunter puts on the show. I was all in on this one, and I was rooting so freaking hard for North Dakota State. Last year, I was rooting really hard for Colorado. Sorry, Sonny Dykes, with what happened in that opener. But, okay, I need Colorado on my screen to root against. Does that make sense?
They're the heel.
They're the heel. I need them on the screen to watch, but I want them to lose. And yesterday, Bobby was sending us messages from the great Dane Brugler saying, I think Travis Hunter may want to play receiver in the National Football League because of the money that's being thrown around. I think Brandon Ayuk is the fifth wideout this offseason to get $30 million or more a year. It got done in San Fran last night, 4 for 120. And I was like, I don't know about that, Bobby. I don't know. Like, okay, he caught the first one and he broke it for a touchdown. But then the rest of the game happened. That was impressive. And I got Tolo's already saying, go ahead and line it up for Shador and get him in here to replace number 4. Colorado 1-0.
Yeah, and I mean, the big thing for Colorado, it's not going to be the sexy storyline. They did settle down the second half defensively.
Yes.
I thought they were going to give up 50 points last night the way that game was going early. But they settled down defensively. Shador was good. I think that Travis Hunter was really, really great. Jimmy Horn doing what he was doing was good. The North Dakota State's secondary is bad.
Yeah.
Like, there were a lot
FCS kids. I mean,
they're
a good team, but they're like, they have FCS athletes still at the end of the day in the secondary.
See, North Dakota State's proven themselves to be a legit program, regardless of how these quarterbacks have turned out. I was talking to somebody in league circles a couple years ago, and they're like,
the underground Connor Stallions Network.
No, this is actually employed by the NFL. They had said, look, North Dakota State has turned out their last three starting quarterbacks into the NFL. You can't talk about them like they're an FCS level program the same sort of way.
They're three star.
Easton Stick, Trey Lance, and Carson Wentz. He's like that. He's like it's an NFL program.
They're a good program, but like still, like they're.
What was the? I think you retweeted.
It's hard to keep in the NIL world at actual players. You know,
it's a different area you're recruiting though. Like I think you had retweeted it yesterday, Sean, or maybe I saw it somewhere else. I don't remember, but the idea of like they're 7-0 against FBS programs against the spread the last seven times they've played them or so, like against ranked opponents. Yeah. They covered the spread again last night.
Oh yeah,
and so I mean they're a tough team. I thought watching that in the first half, I was like North Dakota State is a better team.
I like their
secondary was just bad.
They're fun to watch. I like their quarterback as well.
They they're going to be, you know, they're not maybe the same North Dakota State that won like every single national championship in a row, but they're still a really good program, and they're a program that Colorado should not have scheduled. Like that's not, that was a losable football game.
Did you find yourself rooting for someone big time?
No, not rooting in general. I was more interested to see if anything was different with Colorado, and I don't know that anything was different with Colorado. They're going to wind up being favored in two more games this year.
Yeah, I'm rooting for Travis Hunter to like watch him do crazy things, and so that's probably going to add up to Colorado winning games. But I definitely don't like seeing Deion right now have some of the success the way that he's running that program because it's tyrannical at times, it feels like. And so,
and then the story coming out yesterday through his PR team, aka Mark Jones, and the ESPN booth calling all the kids on Colorado by their nicknames. And I mean, he was invested in the storyline. I've never seen in my 30 years of doing play by play a community love someone this much. I mean, he was on the take. And that booth relayed that Deion told them the reason that reporter was banned is because he questioned his religious faith. He brought his faith out into question, and that's why he had to be banned.
Which is called a false prophet.
Had to bring God into it, yeah.
Which the Denver Post, somebody had replied to that and said, well, you did say false prophet, and he replied back and he said, go read the story. It had nothing to do with religion. He's like, it was used in the sense that people have used false prophet as like a colloquialism for forever. Like, that's the way that it was being used. But yeah, it was.
Deion's excuse to be an over paranoid little baby.
Yeah, what do you
over
say?
People saying things he didn't like.
Exactly.
What's his excuse?
Whenever you go, well, it was about my faith, and that's one of those things that tends to give people a pass. Like, oh, okay. Well, look, I mean, that's very personal to man. You got to let him go. Yeah, let go and let God. Just the same sort of thing there. But I did find myself rooting for Colorado when I saw Trey Lance's little brother holding on the outside and scored. I was like, well, look, you can't give that a pass. I'm going to need Colorado to win this game now.
All right. Are they getting a pass for the clock management at the end? They're like, you know what? If they would have run the football here, this game is probably over. So is Deion Sanders facing some Andy Reid criticism for messing up the clock?
I mean, you got to understand, you got to take what people give you. You can't take what you want and it's not there. I mean, what is it? What did he throw for? 445 yards? You think we upset?
Irrelevant.
Who upset? Irrelevant. So, we didn't have a running game. Well, the passing game looked pretty darn good today. So let's be appreciative and thankful that we got one of the premier guys in college football spinning it. We're going to run the ball. We're going to do that. We're going to have a lot more balance. Today was just that type of day. You got to take what they give you.
But in that situation, like 2 minutes left, you want to run the clock down. I mean,
you want first downs.
Right.
If you want to run the clock down, they got a five-man block. I mean, they got five down. Like, you got to look out there and say, okay, I got one-on-one right here. I haven't seen one-on-one the whole game. So I got to do what I got to do to move these chains. And that's what that is.
Okay, then he finally went into the specific situation versus, aren't you guys grateful you got a Heisman candidate here? then he went into the drive.
That poor reporter, he's not going to eat dinner tomorrow night. No. I'm sure he's fired and is not going to be allowed to ask questions anymore. His point, I don't think, is a bad one.
Yeah.
In the idea of just, like you said, once he breaks it down, it's like, yeah, North Dakota State was not able to cover you all night. And what, they were averaging 2 yards per carry. Their longest run was 11 yards. But North Dakota State was trying to take certain things away. But, man, it was Travis Hunter, Jimmy Horn. Like, they were both able to get open pretty consistently all night.
The Rangers continue to feast on deep dish.
Seeker swings and belts one deep to right field. This one is way back. That ball is history. Corey Seager with his 200th career home run. All kinds of history on that drive by Corey Seager.
Ted Nichols Payne rolling in his grave over that sound modulation right there. Texas Rangers taking care of the White Sox again. They've won 3 in a row, 7-3 in their last 10. What's the number you had on facing Scrubs?
Boy, well, and not even a total Scrubs. The Royals are in there, but if the Rangers could just face the White Sox, the Rays, and the Royals, they'd be okay. Against those three this year, they are 17-2.
Pretty good.
Against the White Sox, Rays, Royals. So against the rest of Major League Baseball, they are 45-69.
Okay.
24 games below 500.
I mean, it's not 45-70.
No, it's
so
not.
At least it's not that.
It's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, you play the White Sox every day. Look, if they play the White Sox every day for the rest of the year, they'll catch up to the Astros by November. That's how it's going to work.
I don't want to hear you talk about anything more about the rest of this season and any hope of catching.
Well, no, that was good. Because November, the season's over.
You got a Bally contract we don't know about, John?
Yeah, I do. Bally contract, absolutely.
877-881-1053. And the thanks to Travis Jankowski for maybe the catch of the year. You're walking papers.
That's so, yeah. And so he's placed on irrevocable waivers, which means...
Isn't it irrevocable?
I don't think
so. The way baseball
I think goes? It's irrevocable.
That sounds fancier.
It does sound fancier, but I don't think so. But anyway, they put him on outright waivers. And
Neil Jackson used to call it irrevocable.
That means over the next 48 hours, any team can claim him and take on his contract, take on his salary. He can keep playing while he's on waivers, and if he doesn't get claimed, then he's still here. But, yeah, it's one of those where they're putting him on those waivers. It's like, thanks so much for your catch. I guess Ray Davis is a big Gary Matthews Jr. fan. Didn't like him stealing his shine. I said it to you guys yesterday, my favorite reaction to the Jankowski catch was on Reddit where somebody said when he robs the walk-off, they're like, this is like stealing a newspaper from a homeless man who's using it as a blanket. Like, just let the White Sox have one walk-off. Let them get their 30-second victory.
Instead, Corey Seager hits his 200th career homer as the Rangers beat sorry Chicago 2-1. And they get the Athletics next.
Hey, look. I mean, it's going to a real kind of winning streak here.
Oakland, I believe, with the best record in the American League post-All-Star break.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, they're like 23-14 or something.
So the Rangers are 9 games back. The armpit is 4 games up on Seattle. And then Oakland, 5 games behind us at 58-76.
It's not a really great sign for the American League if 23-14 is the best record in the entire league.
No.
After the All-Star break. I mean, you've got teams that have 77, 78 wins right now that are on pace for, dang, not quite 100, but close.
All right. How surprised is everyone that the Brandon Ayuk deal got done? Or is the NFL becoming the NBA where the players can win these negotiations? This is making Michael Lombardi, it's making his skin burn off because he is so old school. You think TNT with the NBA on TNT protects? That's nothing compared to Michael Lombardi.
No.
He hates anyone that's born after my year of 1981. And he's like, you guys think you can just control things? San Fran's not going to give in to this guy. He's overrating himself, trying to get himself overpaid. Well, he got his contract 4 for $120. Now, Adam Schefter says in the end, he accepted the same deal that had been on the table since August. August, I'm assuming the entire month. Per league sources, his hold-in did not alter any part of his new 4-year, $120 million extension. Took the same deal that had been there in previous weeks.
Yeah, so essentially he caved.
Or he just said, I don't want to do training camp. I don't want to show up for this. I'll take the deal, but I don't want to work. I'd rather rest up a little bit.
And there was frustration from San Fran. The reports are that they were frustrated he wasn't accepting trades.
Yeah, they laid out a few different deals.
They did Cleveland, they did Pittsburgh, they did New England. I mean, like, and New England was going to pay him 32. And, you know, if you're Brandon Ayuk, you're like, all right, what is $2 million worth, like, being miserable in either where you live or the team?
Yeah, that was Belichick's point. He brought that up for Lamb as well.
Maybe that was the hard line negotiating point. He was trying to get more money specifically out of San Francisco, and the 49ers looked at it and said he's not accepting trades. He is not accepting trades where there's going to be more money. He doesn't really want to live here or leave here. We don't need to move. We can stop here, and he's going to come to this side eventually, and then he did.
A sports documentary that RJ Choppy may buy Netflix for again. A Texas Rangers ticket giveaway and a former Super Bowl champ absolutely destroying the Dallas Cowboys for what Jerry Jones is doing to their locker room. All of that with the 6 a.m. club next on Sean and RJ. We have some unfortunate breaking news here on 105.3 The Fan. Peyton just jumped back in his chair during the commercial break. I think I got my first ever phone call from Gavin Spittle before 7 a.m. Peyton, what is happening with the devastation in the National Hockey League?
Yeah, this is from the Columbus Blue Jackets. Johnny Gaudreau and his brother, Matthew, have passed away suddenly. Not sure the details yet, but the Blue Jackets just put out a statement on Twitter. Johnny Hockey, his nickname, by the way. So very tragic passing for a great, great hockey player.
And his brother?
And his brother.
Gary Bettman has released a statement. It's on the different NHL websites as well. Now, give us a recap for the non-hockey heads on who he was and how good he was.
So if you're a Stars fan, you know, you remember the Flames and Stars playoff series from a few years ago. Johnny Hockey was a huge aspect of that series, and so he played for the Flames, then got a big deal with the Blue Jackets a couple years later. And so
he took less money. He took less money to go to Columbus. He took less money from them than Calgary offered, the Devils offered. People were surprised, but it was tremendous.
31 years old. 31 years old, and his brother as well. Now I'm seeing on dispatch.com, Columbus Dispatch, they're calling it a New Jersey bike accident. They were killed while biking Thursday night in, is it Oldmans Township, RJ?
No idea.
In Jersey?
I've never heard of it.
Close to their hometown of Salem. He was the Blue Jackets' top forward after signing in July 2022. He and his brother were scheduled to be groomsmen in their sister's wedding today in Philadelphia. Goudreau's wife, Meredith, listed as the maid of honor. This happened 3 years after a Blue Jackets goalie was killed in a fireworks incident in Michigan at the home of the team's former goalie coach. My gosh.
That's sad.
Yeah, that is terrible. So that's the breaking news coming out of the National Hockey League here on 105.3 The Fan. Sean Treif, RJ Choppy, Cowboys insider Bobby Belt. The way to hit us up live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube is 877-881-1053. 877-881-1053. I'll change the order of topics here because I don't really want to go into jokes and laughter, but this may cause RJ Choppy. And maybe Mike Bassick. Bassick's going without television, by the way. He said that the other day in the commercial break.
What? Mike is not going without television. He's saying that, but he's not going to go without television. I don't buy it.
Well, he has canceled. Like, he's like on and off with Netflix, like a bad relationship.
Yeah. Yeah, but I still say
he's like
that
the Tristan Thompson of television. He's like in and out, and he'll pop in here and there, and then cheat, and then gone. But
not that Mike cheats, but
begs
yeah.
the question of how Mike is going to talk about things on the radio. But he's not going to give up watching sports. But
you get the Victory app or whatever it is, right? And he'll be able to watch his Mavericks.
No
Stars.
No TV for Mike, but this may cause him. Well, it won't cause him. It'll cause Kevin Hagelin, maybe RJ Choppy, to get Netflix back because they're coming out with a Vince McMahon documentary.
I ask not foul, Vincent. Kennedy McMahon.
I'm so in.
This is going to be not a documentary because you cannot tell the rise and fall of Vince McMahon in an hour or two. Okay, this needs to be, if you thought the Tiger King was long, this needs to be, and it's going to be, a six-part docu-series.
Yes, sir.
I'm hoping it's 6 2-hour episodes. I don't even think you can do the rise and fall of Vince McMahon in 6 1-hour episodes. I mean, this thing has got to go. This has to at least be 10 hours of content in order to fully get this. But this is an unflinching, no-holds-barred look at one of the most enigmatic figures in sports entertainment. That is the official release according to Deadline. It follows him from his transformation of the WWE from a small regional business when it was still the WWF into this global entertainment powerhouse, the explosive sexual misconduct allegations that led to his eventual resignation, the weird pencil-thin mustache that he went to at the end of his days there, and then, of course, like, I assume it's going to get into his rivalry with all the wrestlers that he would have and all the antics that he pulled. And really, getting challenged for the first time by WCW during the Monday Night Wars in the late 90s, where WCW like took hold and really overtook them. And then the idea, and you know, look, he'll get credit for it, whether it's his idea or not, of the Attitude Era and just bringing everybody back from Stone Cold to The Rock and then getting guys from WCW like Jericho. I just can't wait. This is going to be fantastic.
I cannot wait. I was excited for the basketball Netflix following around Tatum and LeBron, Jimmy Butler, and Ant. This blows that away. 6 one-hour episodes. And speaking of Tiger King, the Tiger King director is doing this along with your boy, Bill Simmons.
Oh,
debuting
Billy
on
Boy.
September 25th. And the Puppet Master.
The Puppet Master. The cover photo for this, or the flyer, is it's got him holding the puppet strings, and on one side it says Mastermind, and the other side it says Madman. That's perfect.
See, the only thing that ever gives me pause about one of these types of things is because we do expect so much out of this, or we expect so much out of like the Jerry Netflix thing, or things like that. Like when we see it.
And Vince, by the way, is participating. He participated in the hundreds and hundreds of hours of interviews. He cooperated.
Which makes me wonder, how much are you getting that will feel authentic? Like, is there Vince influence here that's going to make some of it look a little cleaner? Or now, Vince, the difference is Vince is naturally a showman. And he may just look at it as like, well, if we want a good story, let's give him a good story. And so, like, you may get some of that. But that is my one thing that I would be a little worried about with this is that, like, are we going to get a more censored version than I would hope?
All right, Choppy, fantasy football drafts are and will be taking place over the course of this weekend and the next week. Get us prepared.
All right, so you need a team name. You absolutely have to have a team name. So let's see what the most popular team names are for this year's fantasy football drafts and leagues.
I look forward to these every year.
Oh, baby, there we go.
I'm very bad with creativity and team names.
I kind of am, too.
No. This is a specialty of yours. You know what else is a specialty of yours? You're a good caption person. A great caption person.
Caption.
Picture caption. Instagram.
Oh. Oh, like the like the wording. Yes, I do try. We sit around. Look,
my words are very good.
The reason that we don't post for 4 months is because we're trying to sit there thinking of captions for that. I thought you meant caption, like taking the picture caption, like a caption. But I see what you mean. Your description.
You know what? Forget I gave you any credit.
Yeah, thank you. Let's see. If you have CJ Stroud as your quarterback, Stroudy with a chance of deep balls.
Okay.
See?
I like it.
Deep ball, right?
Rowdy meatballs.
What's the most popular phrase of summer of 2024?
Hawk Tua.
Yes. If you have TJ Hawkinson and or Tua on your team, Hawk Tua is a good one. Michael Penix, maybe you have him. Check out my Penix.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. Maybe you have Drake May. I may score tonight.
Get it? Because he may or may not even play.
He may or may not even play. Maybe Bo Nix is your starter, and you have unsolicited Nix picks.
Oh.
That's my favorite one. That's my favorite one. Let's see. Maybe Cooper Kupp is one of your receivers. Cup my life into pieces.
Oh, okay. Going back.
Is that a Papa Roach reference?
Yes,
is that what that one is?
Last resort.
Maybe Tank Dell is on your team. For whom the Dell tolls.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good.
I like that one. Anthony Richardson, is he there? 99 problems, but a rich ain't one.
Okay.
You like that one? Brock Bowers, lean with it, Brock with it. You can have that for Brock Purdy as well. So those are just some of the love thy neighbors, if Malik Neighbors is one of your wide receivers, and he's going to have obviously wear number one. No ketchup, extra Mostert, baby back Gibbs, Xavier Worthy, a worthy competitor, Tajay Spears, Blood, Sweat, and Spears. A lot of good ones out there this year.
And have you been? What have you been finding in your fantasy football homework as you are a notoriously great team namer and a notoriously horrible fantasy player.
Right. I'm a good drafter. I always am. ESPN and Yahoo always say, you will have the second best record. And I always wind up having the second worst. Mm. Because the moment the draft is over, I pay no attention to the fantasy football.
Yep.
My $50 donation or whatever it is simply for the draft. I just want to donate that money, go to the draft, have fun with my guys.
Our fantasy draft, apparently, the night of my station party.
Oh, cool.
So I'm hoping to set a reminder to try and participate, and God knows what's going to happen with my team after 7 hours of partying.
Oh, yeah.
Looking forward to Carter. Carter's sneaking in. Let's do it that night when everyone's wasted and hammered.
Yeah. It's going to be tough. Maybe an auto draft night. You never know. But I did notice this because my son asked me to help him with two drafts. Do not expect. I mean, look, if you're picking 10th, if you're picking 10th in the draft, you're probably going to get the second best running back.
I was asking Peyton last week at the firehouse, okay, where are we with the order of importance with the first round quarterback, wideout, running back now? Where are we? Is running back early dead and gone?
Well, it seems to be dead and gone because I'll tell you this. Like, if you were to go look at, let's just went to one fantasy website that I was at recently. Their number one player is actually CeeDee Lamb. That's their number one. But most of the time, it's like, you know, McCaffrey, whatever. But if you were to go and look at the top seven players, only two of them are running backs. Bijan is the second running back at number seven.
Oh, no.
It goes Lamb or McCaffrey, Tyreek, Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase. St. Brown, A.J. Brown. You got Breece Hall thrown in there. Bijan, Garrett Wilson, Jonathan Taylor, Jahmyr Gibbs, Saquon, Puka at the top 14. Drake London at 15.
Running backs are becoming major league relievers. Where it's like they pop up as like really awesome one year, and then the next year they're not very good, and like there's no consistency with running backs anymore.
Yes,
and the issue is, like, you know, if you were to just go look at this, I mean, there's not a quarterback to be found in the top 20. You know, like you could just there's the position's so deep, you can wait on them. Like in this draft, and this was just a mock draft that was done. You know, Josh Allen was the first quarterback taken at 28. Patrick Mahomes wasn't taken until 44 overall. And then Lamar at 49. So, and then the next quarterback taken, that's three guys, isn't till 76. That's Dak. So we're talking about.
Then you got shared backfields as well.
And that's the problem. That's why running backs are so devalued in the fantasy space, because you don't know who's getting the lion's share of the carries in the red zone.
So there it is, a little bit of a fantasy preview. Got some more team names from the Tolos?
Yeah, we got a lot of cool names here from the Tolos. Some inappropriate ones, but we'll keep it G-rated here. 469 says, my fantasy name is Show Me Your TDs. Touchdowns there at the end.
Not really G, but PG.
856, unsolicited Dak picks.
Good.
903, touchdown my pants. Another touchdown. 682, this one's really good. Two of girls, one cup.
If you've got Cooper Kupp.
Yes.
That went to PG-13 there at the end. But.
Yeah, PG-13 towards the end. All right, Dak Prescott says, I don't listen to Jerry Jones. It will say a lot if I'm not signed when the season begins. What a former NFL player, Super Bowl champ, says this is actually doing to the Cowboys locker room before the start of the season. You're going to want to hear this audio, plus our final Rangers ticket giveaway of the week next on Sean and RJ.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.